Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
304, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Eric Trump is going to be with us 1 hour from now. David Friedman, former ambassador to Israel, is going to be with us at 4:35. Looking forward to having both of those gentlemen join us. Where would you like to start? Oh, let's start with Susanna Gibson. Cry me a flippin' river, would you? Oh, and by the way, if you are going to cry me a river, can you do it on camera? And how much is that going to cost? The nerve of this woman to stand up and talk about the things she has been through. Oh, my God. Lady, you were the one doing porno online. Wasn't me. Now, I don't know how much you made, but I can guarantee you made more than I would make. Nobody wants to see me. Barely a couple of people wanted to see you and your husband. Is he still your husband? I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't know, but now I have to think about these things. That's your fault, not mine. I didn't ask you to perform sex acts for tokens in front of people on camera. I didn't ask you for that. I'm still sitting here thinking, man, I can't unsee some of the things that I saw. But you're outraged. You want better protection. You know what? If you want better protection, I have a suggestion for you. Turn off your freaking video camera. That'll give you better protection. Don't go asking people for tokens and request to perform specific sexual acts on camera. That'll protect you. You won't ever have to worry about this. You know, the vast majority of us never worry about this. You know why? Because we don't do that. Because we don't engage in the behavior you engaged in. You chose to do that. Now, there's still all sorts of questions out there about that. You know, Mike Dickinson is the only guy that I have found that's actually been covering that story. And I mean the other parts of the story. Oh, I know. Mike watched every single second of the videos that were available. No doubt about that. But I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the legal implications. Remember, there was all sorts of questions about signatures on campaign things. And was she performing these sexual acts on camera to raise money for the campaign? Is that appropriate? Is it legal? Who knows? But you and I have to ask these questions because she chose to do that. What she ought to do is hang her flipping head in shame.
Well, I nobody should have been looking.
Well, you shouldn't have been on camera. It is legitimately, easily that simple. So simple, in fact, even I'm not confused by it. I mean, let me tell you, if I understand it right away, it's got to be easy and straightforward. And what is Carrie Coyner thinking? Why would she co-patron this bill? Now, I understand there are people who, I don't know, people make videos for themselves, I suppose. And then I don't know what you do with them, but okay. But that's not what this was. It's not even close to what this was. Maybe Carrie Coyner doesn't understand that. I don't know. Maybe she's looking at the upside, if you will, which is let's protect everybody's privacy. I'm on board with that. I think every one of us who's a decent person is on board with that. But sort of aiding and abetting somebody who's taking to one of these sites, knowing full well that it's on display for anybody and everybody who wants to see, and then, let's not forget this part, requesting tokens, and tokens have to be purchased, which to me means that it's some sort of a financial situation. Remember when it first broke, there were people asking, could it be considered prostitution? Not that her husband was forcing her to do that, or she was forcing her husband to do that, but there was a question raised that said, if she is accepting some sort of compensation to perform a specific sex act, apparently, that was the question. I think one of the questions was, would it have to be with that person? In other words, would her husband have had to say, or whoever was in the picture, hey, here's 20 tokens, let's do such and such. Now that, I guess, would be clearer. This, I don't know, because you're talking about people who are not involved in the actual physical situation. But anyway, you slice it, it's on her. Period. End of story. All right. Now, let me jump down off my soapbox for a second. Let me remind you about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. It was wonderful to be out at Liberty University for a couple of days. I'm going to tell you that. As a result of that, Jeremy doesn't know this yet, but Jeremy, I got a whole bunch of stuff I have to give to you. One of the things is actually a gift for you. No, I did. I brought you a gift. This will be nice. You're always nice. But I got a gift for him. But more importantly, I got some important information to pass along to Germ. And it was really interesting to see all of the political signs. I didn't know that there was a whole chunk of Powhatan that seems to be nothing but Democrats. Because there were all these Harris, who's the goofball who's running with her? Walls, right? I'm sorry. Honest to goodness, I swear to you, I forgot his name. I really did. But yeah, Harris Walls signs that were up. And I don't know if they were, well, I don't know what they were. But there was like this whole little chunk that I had to drive through out in Powhatan where they had all of those signs. It was crazy. Now, last night, our Not Ready for Primetime Vice President was actually on primetime, but it was pre-recorded. Of course it was pre-recorded. I mean, you know, if you pre-record things and you go back, you fix things in post-production. I know how this works. So she was on with this Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC. Last week, Stephanie Ruhle announced that she was voting for Kamala Harris. Gosh, this is going to be a hard-hitting interview, don't you think? Even with this, where you are essentially sitting down with like a teddy bear, a lovable, supportive, warm sort of a creature, a person in this case, who wants you to win. Even with that, she couldn't get stuff out. So we have a lot from that. And I did promise, I promised Jeremy, we're getting all of it, man. Let's do cut number one, please.
Madam Vice President, you just laid out your economic vision for the future.
Yeah.
But still, there are lots of Americans who don't see themselves in your plans. For those who say these policies aren't for me, what do you say to them?
Well, if you are hardworking, if you have the dreams and the ambitions and the aspirations of what I believe you do, you're in my plan. You know, I have to tell you, I really love and am so energized by what I know to be the spirit and character of the American people. We have ambition. We have aspirations. We have dreams. We can see what's possible. We have an incredible work ethic. But not everyone has the access to the opportunities that allow them to achieve those things. But we don't lack for those things. But not everyone, you know, gets handed stuff on a silver platter. And so my vision for the economy, I call it an opportunity economy, is about making sure that all Americans, wherever they start, wherever they are, have the ability to actually achieve those dreams and those ambitions, which include from middle class families, just being able to know that their hard work allows them to get ahead, right? I think we can't and we shouldn't aspire to have an economy that just allows people to get by. People want to do more than just get by. They want to get ahead. And I come from the middle class. Look, my mother raised my sister and me. She worked hard. She saved up. By the time I was a teenager, she was able to buy our first home. And, you know, home ownership for too many people in our country now is elusive. You know, gone is the day of everyone thinking they could actually live the American dream. So part of my vision for the economy is let's deal with some of the everyday challenges
Pardon me. You know why the people feel they can't live the American dream? Because of you. Because of you. And the other guy. Now, the other guy has said that you actually were making all of the decisions. Yo, what a talk about a backhanded endorsement. Joe Biden, remember him, the presidential meat puppet? He said he delegated everything to Kamala Harris. So the last 4 years of disaster, it's all on her. So when she sits there and she's just sort of blah, 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 she's like the teacher from the Peanuts, for God's sakes. Nothing makes any sense. And then she tells me, well, people don't believe they can live the American dream. No kidding, Sherlock, and it's because of you.
Good grief.
Good grief is right. Wow. Unflippin' believable. All right, cross that one off the list, Jeremy. I told you we're going to get to all of them. Poor Jeremy sweating. But man, well, I'm not loading them all in. You got to understand how difficult it is to do all this stuff. I give a big pile, but I did get you a gift. 804 on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line says, hey, wait a minute, Jeff, is she from a middle-class family? Did her middle-class family love their lawn? Hell yeah. She likes to say how she came from Oakland.
Well, I'm a daughter of Oakland.
No, you're not. No, you're not. In fact, the two homes you lived in Berkeley, near the college, are not actually all that close to Oakland. So you're full of crap, is what you are. And then your middle-class mom, who was a highly paid professional, by the way, moved you and your sister to Montreal, to a luxury section of Montreal, and then you attended private school. So please, don't preach to me about being middle-class. You're full of crapola, is what you're full of. 804, Jeff, why did you watch those videos? With the porn star. 804, take my word, I did not watch all of them. Mike Dickinson, I'm pretty sure, watched every single set. I watched enough to think, oh, good Lord, please stop. And I did. But because at first, honestly, I thought it was a joke. I thought there was slander. I thought there was something out there. And especially when she was saying, oh, these were stolen from us and shared without our knowledge. I watched enough for her to make very clear she knew she was on camera and anybody and everybody could be part of it. 804, Jeff, will Howard Gutman have the morning show or the afternoon show when George Soros has finished purchasing the radio station? That's a good question. I don't know. Anyway, let me remind you that the Chronic Care of Richmond text line is always available to you. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Eric Trump is going to be with us at 4:05. We got my buddy Brian Maloney coming up at the bottom of the hour, 3:35. I'm curious to know what he made of the, it was supposed to be a love fest last night, but even that Stephanie Ruhle was puzzled by the gigantic bowls of word salad coming from our not ready for primetime vice president. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WR. RBA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Don't stand so close unless you're going to give me tokens. And if you're going to give me tokens, man, stand back because you're going to get yourself one heck of a show, please. 4:05 this afternoon, Eric Trump is going to be with us. I just did a big discussion with one of the big national news outlets, and they were asking me, hey, what about this new poll? There's some new poll out. I don't even know which one it is. It was either in Politico or The Hill or one of those publications that says, what's her name? Mr. God, I forgot her name. Kamala Harris, yeah, is up by 9 points over Donald Trump. And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, look, I don't do polling, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that the University of Mary Washington poll that came out last week showed it as basically a tie, right? She was leading by 2 points, but that was well within the margin of error. Other polls are indicating pretty much the same thing. But I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend that I know. But the very fact that both the Harris campaign and the Trump campaign have some pretty high-level surrogates coming through Virginia says to me that we're in play. The polling numbers I'm hearing from friends who are, well, in all candor, on both sides of the aisle, inside things, say, hey, it's pretty close. The one thing that is concerning to the Harris campaign, apparently it's very concerning, is that Tiny Tim Kaine, that malevolent little Senate garden gnome dude, he apparently has opened up a 10-point lead over Hung Cao, and Kamala Harris is not anywhere near that. That's something to be concerned about. So this afternoon, we've got Eric Trump, her husband. What is his title, Jerm? Was like the second dude or something, or fill-in guy number two? Whoever he is, Mr. Emhoff is apparently coming to Virginia to speak on her behalf as well. Whether he will speak as clearly and as passionately as she does, well, I mean, really, who can? But that says to me that it's all in play. Now, this Stephanie Ruhle, believe it or not, she's not a journalist. She's not a reporter. She's not somebody who's really doing any of those things. She was there as a propaganda prop. It should have been the easiest of easy situations, and even that Kamala Harris screwed up. But even Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC had to push back. And yes, I watched it. I did. Sorry, but I did. I watched it so that you didn't have to. No, it's okay. But cut number two, please.
Over the last 4 years, there have been tremendous economic wins, and you've just laid out a big plan. But still, polling shows that most likely voters still think Donald Trump is better to handle the economy. Why do you think that is?
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Yeah, why is that? I mean, really, inquiring minds want to know. Why is that? Why do people listen to you and go, oh, good Lord, I have no confidence that she can fix anything? Why do you think that is? Is it because you bring your vast experience from McDonald's? Cut number six.
Then I want to just ask you about a little job and a big job.
Okay.
The first one, just a fact check. Okay. Because your opponent,
there is
almost
no
every
little job.
Day.
Okay. There's no such thing as a little job.
Okay, fair. because your opponent almost every day seems to be talking about this. So I just want to ask you yes or no. At any point in your life, have you served two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese,
onions,
yes or no? That's it.
I have.
Okay.
No, you haven't. Oh God, even that you have to lie about why. Oh, please, why do you have to it's painful. It hurts. The hell did she say? Are you or are you not running for president? Well, so I was raised in a middle class family, and we had windows and we loved ice cream and puppies. In fact, we loved puppy flavored ice cream and ice cream flavored puppies. Nothing that this woman says makes any sense. Joy. Oh, we have joy. I don't have any joy. Was it like a happy, happy, joy, joy thing? I don't think so. I'm not voting for Ren and Stimpy for president. I'm not voting for her for president. I'm sorry. It just stinks to high heaven, period. End of story. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve, and I am telling you right now, the giant bowls of word salad that were dispensed last night. It was like a freaking Pez dispenser spitting out tired joy, joy, hopes, ambitions, and middle class family joy. I don't even know what to say, which is why Brian Maloney is here and why Eric Trump will be with us at 4:05. Because I am truly at a loss for words. I watch this and I am dumber for having watched it. I killed useful brain cells that I could have used for anything important, like, I don't know, navel gazing or clipping my toenails or reminding myself that noses are not snack dispensers. Something useful. I watched. I thought, oh, good God. I would be embarrassed for her if she had any personal embarrassment or shame, but I don't think she does. Brian Maloney, who is an astute observer of political campaigns and organizing things, and actually, as I've mentioned many times, truly one of the best talk show hosts we've ever had in these here United States of America. But he joins us right after the election every Friday Eve to talk about this stuff. Brian, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, I'd be interested to see what Eric Trump has to say about things, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's good. He's no Brian Maloney, but I think he's good.
Well, you be sure to tell him that.
I will. I will work that into conversation.
Oh, no, 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 no. No.
All right, now, you got to be, okay, pony up here, dude. Did you watch this, and do you not feel just a little less like a human having watched it?
Well, I don't torture myself through the whole thing. I saw clips here and there, but, I mean, it's just the same thing. You know, and we're not seeing a lot of campaigning from her otherwise. Have you noticed? I mean, she's not out there.
That's the thing. Now, here's the weird thing is that she's appearing at, quote, rallies. She did something at Carnegie Mellon, which had 300 people. It wasn't open to the students. I mean, if you're going to do something on a university campus, wouldn't you be there to get the students to vote for you?
Well, and also, wouldn't you expect the students to be a favorable audience? So
yes.
If you can't get that, if you can't trust college students to support your candidacy, you're in real trouble. And it just shows how stage managed every moment is for her. There is never an unscripted moment. There is never a chance for an offhanded question to be asked or anything that might cause discomfort. And even when it's Oprah asking her softball questions, she's still scared.
What do you think this is? Now, let's just pull the curtain back a little bit, because you and I, throughout the years, we have dealt with candidates. Some of them were the best candidates that you would ever want to have running for office, but boy, a camera light went on or a microphone was in front of them, and they just couldn't do it. But off stage, you know, policy-wise, writing policy, they were really good. Then you have other people, I think, who are great on camera. There's nothing going around in their head, but they're great on camera. I don't get that she's either one of those things, though. I just don't think there's anything there.
Well, and you know, think back to 2016 and Hillary. I mean, Hillary is not someone where you had to worry about any of this. She could handle herself just fine.
Yep.
You might have disagreed with everything that she did and said, which, you know, I was one of them that disagreed.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was she knew how to get through the campaign. In fact, I mean, she could write a book on how to, or she did write about 27 books, or, you know, had ghostwriters doing whatever the story is there. But the bottom line is you didn't have to worry about those kinds of things, which is why everyone expected her to win.
Right.
And, you know, she had the machine and the system behind her. But in this case, I don't think she was the machine's first choice. But they've been, you know, doing the best they can with her. But I think she's totally in over her head and fizzling out. And you've just seen what seemed like a strong start for the first few weeks has really, I think, disintegrated. So when I see polls still showing her doing as well as she is, I really get suspicious, although the polls are kind of all around the place, and I've been digging into them. And there's some really interesting numbers out there.
All right. So give me an example. I know here, just for a little point of reference, we had the University of Mary Washington last week come
it's like
a 2-point race, and then today we've got one that says she's 9 points ahead. I think, and you tell me, because you're better at these numbers, but it seems to me that there are some real races going on in these battleground states.
Well, and I think they are, and I think that Virginia needs to be included in the battleground states and not thought of in the way that the media would portray it as a solid blue state. I think that I think races in Virginia are up for grabs, including the Senate race, where there is an absolutely excellent Republican candidate who needs a lot more attention, deserves a lot more attention.
I agree. Yeah. Now, what are you seeing as an example? Pennsylvania, that seems to be neck and neck. Wisconsin, Michigan, these should be slam dunks for Kamala Harris.
Well, so this is where it gets funny. It really depends on the pollster, but not in the way that you think, because the New York Times CNN poll that came out just days ago show Trump in a really good position in those swing states. And yes, I did say New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get polls from Fox that are the other way, because apparently Paul Ryan doesn't like, you know, polls that favor Trump.
Yeah.
So, the liberal polls come from Fox. The probably more accurate polls are coming from the New York Times. So those are the bizarre times that we're living in today.
Wow. And you know what was interesting? And I want to remind everybody, Brian Maloney is joining us. Brian joins us every Friday. He's going to do that right up through the election. The New York Times trashed her appearance with this Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC. And I'm just thinking, Brian, that the New York Times, which I usually look at as the Democrat Party's family newsletter, when you've lost the New York Times, I mean, things can't be going well.
Well, what could be happening is that it's an I told you so from people who didn't want her as a candidate in the first place. And if they see polling that shows her in a bad position, it could be people in the media, mm-hmm. in the party, preemptively saying, hey, I was on the correct side of this. You people, your faction wasn't. I think that has a lot. And a lot of this is also, you know, the factionalized nature of the White House today, because you know, right now we've got Jill Biden running cabinet meetings, you know, right. I mean, you know, so now the masks are off. They're not even pretending that he was ever president anymore. She was clearly running a lot of the show and had That's been for right. a long time.
Yep.
And Kamala was a spite pick by the Bidens to stick it to Nancy Pelosi, who forced him out of the race. Remember, he got all the primary votes and you know, Harris didn't get one.
That's
so
right.
I think there's a lot of internal stuff going on here. And if, you know, Trump pulls this off, which I think he's got a heck of a shot, although we got to, you know, get off our butts and get to work here.
Yep.
There's going to be not just finger pointing, but I think there's going to be nuclear war between the factions of that Democrat Party over, you know, why, over who was chosen and who wasn't and why. And
yep.
It's ugly. It's ugly. And I think, I mean, Joe didn't put on, he's the senile as he is, he didn't put on that Trump hat by accident. He
That's
didn't.
Right.
That was
right.
a signal. That was a signal that was being sent that it was a middle finger
yep.
to his party. He, you know, you could be pretty senile and still not put on the Trump hat if you're Joe Biden.
Oh, hey.
You would still know that much.
Brian, you remember he asked the guy for the hat.
Yeah.
It wasn't the other way around. And I'm sure you noticed there was an image that was captured of him carrying a red baseball cap up the steps of Air Force One. Now, I don't know what was on the front of it, but that was there. And just yesterday, the biggest backhanded endorsement, I think, when Joe Biden said, hey, I delegated everything to her. So...
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a feeling of ungratefulness there. And I think so there's a lot going on here. I mean, if he wakes up tomorrow and turns around endorsing Trump, it wouldn't surprise me at this point. I mean, there's just weird. This has been a weird year. We knew it would be weird. It's a lot weirder than we thought. But the Democrats going after the Democrat mayor of New York City is a huge issue nationwide. It's not a New York City issue. This is what people are failing, or some people are failing to understand. And it ties into everything because the Democrats would never, ever indict the sitting Democrat mayor of the largest American city a month before the election. They would never, ever do that unless they were trying to send a message to their own side, which is, you know, you step out of line on
That's
a few
right.
things. We've been keeping score along the way. We're going to nail you for
That's
a
right.
bunch of stuff that all the previous mayors got away with and more.
Absolutely. Hey, let me ask you this as the out question, Brian. Senate and House, a lot of buzz that Republicans take the Senate. Are you hearing that? And what are you hearing about the House?
Well, so, I mean, it really depends on what we can do in terms of the Senate. I think we've got Montana in the bag. So I think John Tester is out, which is brilliant.
Yep.
But we have to win. I've been mentioning Ohio. I've been, you know, Pennsylvania. But I think, you know, the outside, if we really have a good night, it's Virginia that would seal the deal. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
this
is not, and you know, I hope that your listeners are paying a lot of attention to the home races, like, because it can be done. Things can happen in Virginia. And
yeah,
if there's one point I would want as a takeaway from this, other Senate races out there, I mean, Arizona, I don't think, you know, it doesn't look that great for us right now. It's a little out of the range. You know, other ones, I don't know if we're going to grab, but I mean, you know, we've got some there that we can, you know, I mean, yeah. You know, if it's really a 5-6 point race in Virginia in that Senate, in that Senate seat, it can be won. It can be won.
I agree. Well, listen, I'm over time as always because you're great. So do me a favor, remind everybody where they can follow you on social media, please.
You bet. So it is facebook.com/ media equalizer, one word, facebook.com/media equalizer. That's the best place, and when you go there, I'll tell you where else to find me.
All right. Listen, you are the best. You are the media equalizer. I am always grateful for you making some time for us. My friend, Brian Maloney, it is 346, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 351, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. We got rain, and we're going to have rain for the next couple of days. Some of it's going to be like a whip-snap sort of a thing from Helene. Now, Helene is really hitting the Big Bend area in Florida. Big Bend, well, it's where the state of Florida bends, basically. You know, at the top of it, you kind of got Pensacola over there in Floribama, and then you come east, and you're getting towards Tallahassee and the Gainesville and all of that stuff, and then it kind of, you know, it turns, right? And you got Tampa. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I love Tampa. But anyway, so that's where it is right now, and I got a buddy of mine who was shooting some video. He had to drive to work. And when you're in Tampa, man, there are a million causeways and bridges and stuff, and there's a lot of water. And this water was right to the edge of the bridge. I mean, and nothing had really started yet. So just if you got friends or family down there, reach out to them. And it's probably at this point too late for people to move. That's what Governor Ron DeSantis was saying earlier. So you got to think about him and pray for him. Eric Trump is going to be with us just about 10 minutes from now. We'll talk about how the campaign is going for his father. I'm curious to know if Eric Trump subjected himself to the Kamala Harris show last night. God, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Taking a look at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, Vice President Harris, useful idiot. This is what the communists want. Yeah, well, can't argue with that. 804, Jeff, is State Delegate Carrie Coyner getting tokens for her support of Susanna Gibson? I hope not. Let's see, 804, that's MB in Henrico. Jeff, I do not believe there is a less qualified presidential candidate than Kamala Harris. She has no answers, no plan, no vision going forward. This is a DEI hire, and it will prove to be the death of the Constitutional Republic if she wins the White House. I am beyond puzzled why half of the American public refuses to see the forest through the trees. We will deserve what we get if she is elected. Yeah, well, it's terrible. 804 says, Jeff, who does Sam Elliott think watches his dumb movies? It ain't soy boys and beta males. Yeah, I guess Sam Elliott came out, what, did a full commercial for Kamala Harris? I just wish actors would act and singers would sing and sports people would, you know, date Taylor Swift. That's all I'm asking for. I don't need to know about your political agenda. I don't want to know about your political agenda. I don't want any.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Of that nonsense. I just don't. I don't care. But then when you expose me to it, then I have to think, ugh, maybe I shouldn't even bother watching whatever it is that you're in. 804, Jeff, she's just so phony. No, I agree. You're right. You're right. 804, Jeff, Charles Pyle is so much better. Absolutely correct. Again, I said it last week. I'll say it this week. And God willing, I'll say it again next week. But I think Charles is doing a great job. We're happy to have him on the team. Anyway, so it says Charles Pyle is so much better. He and Gary need to teach the young buck reporters how to do a non-biased news report. We don't have any young buck reporters, right? We have one reporter, Sarah Huffman, who, by the way, does a great job. I look forward to every report that she does. I really do. I think she sounds great on the air. I think she is a solid reporter doing what it is that reporters are supposed to do. I think Charles Pyle is doing a great job anchoring the whole thing for us. I'm very happy with that. I really am. So I would agree with you that Charles and Gary can teach a lot of people how to do a lot of things, but it's not like we have 20, quote, young buck reporters. Nobody has newsrooms anymore. It's just the way it is. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but it is what it is. But we're fortunate. We've got two solid people, and from the looks of it, the sounds of it, the feel of it, that should be enough. So I think that's good. Eric Trump is going to be with us at 4:05. Do me a favor. Go over and sign up and follow me on X. Jeff Katz Show on X. Please follow Jeff Katz Show on X. Just trying to get to another little mark here so that we can do a little bit more with that. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed is going to be here coming off a very successful event with G. Von Fleet. He's got Kevin Sorbo coming to town, which is cool. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve, and you make no mistake about it, Virginia is very much in play. We saw the poll numbers last week. I think the University of Mary Washington numbers are the closest to the pin, right? Neck and neck between our not-ready-for-primetime Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. And last night, I got to tell you, Kamala Harris proved yet again, man, there's just nothing there. I can't tell you how excited I am to bring on to the program Eric Trump. We haven't had him on the program in a while. It's just great to welcome you back. Eric, thank you for being here.
It's great to be here, Jeff.
Tell me a little bit about where we are, because I see Virginia very much in play, even as some of the legacy news media people are trying to tell us, oh, no, nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah, listen, I do as well. You know, we have a property in Charlottesville, Trump Winery, and we also have a property up in Loudoun County. I think you probably know them both very well. And I was just down at the winery 2 weeks ago, and every person that came in, they're wearing MAGA hats. They are, you know, red, white, and blue. They love. I mean, literally, I walked through there, and I was getting high fives. I was getting hugs by absolutely everybody. It was a beautiful day. There was like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people enjoying the views, and I just couldn't believe the total spirit and the love and the affection there. And so I see it. I spend a lot of time in the state. I know it very well. And I think we are neck and neck. And I think it's a state that we could absolutely win. You know, Jeff, people are sick and tired of seeing what's happening. And it's, you know, we have an economy that's not working right now. The cost of everything is unaffordable in this country. People aren't making any more money than they were 4 years ago. Gas is three times the price. You know, try and go refinance a house. You know, good luck, right? You know, we were at 2.5% under my father. Right now, we're at 7-8%. So interest rates are crazy. It's killing small businesses in this country. Rent, if you don't own and if you have to rent in this country is crazy. The cost of everything is through the roof. The cost of groceries, the cost of auto insurance, fuel, utilities, diesel. I mean, absolutely everything. This country has become unaffordable. You've had stagnation of wages. You've had massive inflation in this country, you know, year after year. So, you know, roughly 10% a year compounding. You know, this country has become unaffordable. You know, all the while you've had 20 million people come into this country and take jobs. Our jobs reports have been horrendous. I mean, they had to adjust it down by almost 1 million jobs because they were lying about the jobs reports. But, you know, the vast majority of jobs created in this country have been federal, state, and local jobs, right? Not you know, private sector jobs. That's a problem as well. You know, and yet you've had 20 million people come into this country. You've got gangs taking over low-income housing in places like Aurora. You have fentanyl crisis, you know, 320,000 kids last year that have died to fentanyl, and these people don't do a damn thing about it. You know, in fact, they sold the rest of the wall for scrap metal at about 5 cents on the dollar to what, you know, what was obviously it was, you know, cost to manufacture. You know, they don't care about the immigration problem. You see what's happening in Russia and Ukraine right now, where you have young kids shooting at each other at point blank ranges in trenches, and we're funding this whole thing instead of funding our schools, instead of funding our infrastructure. It's devastating to see what's happening in this nation. And then you have our greatest allies, you know, places like Israel that are completely under attack. You know, Iran is shooting missiles at them every single day. Iran was broke under my father, and now, you know, Iran is shooting, you know, missiles at our greatest ally every single day as they try and get nuclear weapons and, you know, try and take over the entire Middle East. I mean, it's, I could go on and on, but I mean, it's crazy the degradation of not only the United States, but just the world, and really us as the superpower of the world in the last, you know, 4 years under incompetent leadership.
Eric Trump is joining us, and Eric, I want to ask you a couple of specific questions. I don't know if you subjected yourself to the vice presidential show last night. It was painful, and it really was. Even for someone like me who, I dislike her, I would dislike her policies if she had policies, but the one thing that came through was that she has plans to help 20 million illegal aliens, and not a single syllable for those of us in the real world, those of us who actually do come from middle-class backgrounds, who actually live in middle-class families, who have learned what compounding interest means in a painful way these last 4 years. She had nothing for us. Nothing.
So I spoke at length about this in the RNC, and it's one of the things that truly bothers my soul, it bothers my heart. We have the most expensive hotels in the world in New York, meaning New York has some of the best, you know, most expensive properties in the world. And they're full of illegal immigrants right now. I mean, these are people that came across the southern border illegally about 3 minutes ago, walked into this country, and now under your taxpayer dollars and my taxpayer dollars and everybody's taxpayer dollars, you have illegal immigrants that are in the finest hotels on planet Earth, you know, for free. Yeah. Yet you go all across this country and you have, you know, homeless veterans that are sleeping, you know, under overpasses, on street corners, and no one's done a damn thing to help them. Not a single thing to help these people, right? You have 22 veterans that commit suicide every single day. We don't do a damn thing to help people who went out and fought in the wars, you know, fought for our country. But yet you come across an invisible line. You come into this country, a lot of those people were sent on private planes or on planes, you know this, in the middle of the night, 320,000 were sent on planes in the middle of the night into airports all across the country, and you get to move into the Ritz-Carlton or whatever the hell the hotel is, and you get to have the nicest suite, you know, paid for by taxpayers. Have we lost our minds? I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but have we lost our minds? How in the world could we let our veterans be out there, you know, homeless, yet, you know, be housing, you know, literally tens and tens of thousands of illegal immigrants? We have let 20 million illegal immigrants into this country. We have no job creation in our nation right now. The only job creation in our nation is going to illegal immigrants, right? You have stagnation of wages. You have our industries that are totally under siege. You have small businesses that are under siege. You have a person who wants to double the tax rate in this country, which will kill every single individual and every single business in this nation. I mean, you have somebody came out and said, listen, I want to tax unrealized gains. I mean, could you imagine what that concept would do? So your house goes from being worth $100,000 to $150,000, and you have to pay 50% tax on that $50,000 differential, so you'd have to pay $25,000 in tax. Where do you get that money? Right? I mean, these are their policies. Remember, this is the same person. Kamala Harris is the same person who said that she supports giving sex change, transgender sex change surgeries to illegal immigrants that are incarcerated. I mean, have we lost our damn minds? And again, the answer is yes. I mean, why can't we take care of our own? Why can't we have the best educational system in the world as opposed to being 30th in the world? And by the way, God bless the Loudoun County moms and the Virginia moms who fought so hard when, you know, during the revisionist woke, you know, curriculum, you know, fights. I mean, Virginia led the way, and the Virginia moms led the way, and thank God for them. I mean, really, thank God for the moms in this country. But why can't we be number one in the world in terms of education? Why can't we have the greatest economy in the world? Why can't we have the best small business environment? Why can't we have the lowest taxes? You know, why can't we have a merit-based system? I mean, my mom was an immigrant into this country, but she came in legally, and she paid a lot of money in taxes, and she learned the language, and she assimilated. Well, why can't we just do this the right way? I mean, she picked a running mate in Tim Walz, who literally, his claim to fame in Minnesota was putting tampons in boys' bathrooms. I mean, these aren't serious people. They're not serious people.
Oh, I am so happy to hear you say that. That is a phrase that we have used on this program now for a couple of years with them. And you're right. These are not serious people. Serious people say that my neighbors, Eric, are having trouble filling their truck when they go to the gas station. Serious people are concerned that people in my community are looking at their bill in the grocery store and saying, hey, sorry, kids, you got to put something back because we just can't do that. Serious people are looking at my children and my neighbor's children saying, boy, we'd love to have you live in the neighborhood, but there's not a chance on God's green earth that you can afford that with where you are right now. And God help you if you want to travel, because we have gone from being a nation that is respected and having a leader that is respected and also feared, which I think is good, to a laughing stock. There's nobody that's not afraid to step to us. We are filled with non-serious people, and God bless your father for having the willingness to step up again. I mean, that is a good, solid man right there.
One of my closest friends is a police officer, and he was telling me the other day that their department just ran out of Narcan. That's how much Narcan that they were using because of the fentanyl crisis in this country, right? I've personally lost four friends. Four friends have had kids who've been lost to fentanyl. And by the way, this wasn't because they were like, you know, they were addicted to drugs. This is, one of them was, or two of them were, but yeah. These are people who unfortunately stumbled into something by accident and ended up dying because of it. 320,000 mainly kids in this country have died to fentanyl, let alone the rest of the, and what are they doing? She literally sold the steel. My father built 600 miles of wall. Yeah. The rest of it was built. All they had to do was stand it up. It was done, right? And they were standing it up at miles and miles a day.
Yep.
They sold the wall as scrap metal for pennies on the dollar, right? I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I know the White House as well as anyone, Jeff. I've been there 1,000 times, obviously, when my father was in office. The vice president's office, you know, Kamala Harris's office, is about 3 feet away from Joe Biden's from the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, sir, when I get in office, I'm going to focus on pricing. Where the hell have you been as the entire country suffers? Oh, yes, when I get into office, I'm going to think very seriously about the border. Where have you been? You are the person who are flying 320,000 people in the middle of the night into airports across, you know, the country, telling anybody about it, denying it, as you flew in illegal immigrants because you want to change the census of this country. I mean, where have you been? She was supposed to be border czar. You know, if you cared so much about pricing on things, if you cared about how America is now unaffordable, why didn't you do something about it? And the reality is that they've been lazy.
Yep.
They lack common sense.
Yep.
They lack any real-world experience because they've never held a job outside of you know, government.
That's right.
And just, if you want to know her track record, look at San Francisco. San Francisco is the greatest city, you know, arguably one of the greatest cities anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And look at it now. You can't, first of all, there are no businesses in San Francisco anymore because they just can't, people can't afford to be there. It's so unaffordable. You can't, there's no way, unless you make 200 grand a year, you literally can't live in the city because it's so expensive.
That's right.
Every business has left. All the industry has left. You walk around the city, you're walking over hypodermic needles, you're walking through homeless camps, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to get mugged. You know, chances are you're going to get mugged because, you know, crime has skyrocketed there as well as every other city in the country under their, you know, no bail, their horrible kind of democratic policies. She's destroyed San Francisco. I mean, you have the largest mass exodus of people out of California, leaving California in the history of the country, of any state. No state's ever seen that kind of exodus. I mean, New York is right behind it.
Yeah.
And yet, it's the same policies that she implemented there that she wants to implement across the entire country. Just look at San Francisco if you want to know what Kamala stands for. Look at the city that it was, and look at the city it is today. And it will tell you everything you need to know.
You're absolutely correct. And Eric, those policies have been adopted, as you know, and I want to remind everybody, Eric Trump is spending a few moments with us. We're grateful for that. You take a look at some other cities. 1,000 years ago, I was a police officer in the city of Philadelphia, Eric, and I look at my old neighborhoods that are now, it looks like an episode of The Walking Dead. There are drug-induced zombies, if you will, have set up shop in the entire Kensington neighborhood. You can't go there. That used to be a vibrant shopping community. It's awful. It's just awful.
That's right. And then she comes out, yes, crime is the best it's ever been in this country. And people literally laugh at her, right? I mean, first of all, she decriminalizes everything, right? So, I mean, obviously, if you decriminalize murder, you're going to have a great crime rate, right? But, I mean, they've decriminalized everything. Second of all, now all of a sudden they tell these cities all across the city and all across the country, and Philadelphia is one of them, New York is one of them, they tell them not to report their crime statistics, right?
That's right.
So all of a sudden you've got the places that have the worst crime not reporting their statistics, and you have them decriminalizing everything they used to be reported, and then they come out and say, yes, see, crime statistics have gone down, and people are laughing at them because all people need to do is open their eyes, which everybody does. Everybody listening to us knows right now. I mean,
that's right.
You know places all over Virginia. You know places all over the country are not as safe as they used to be. And
that's right.
I mean, just look at Aurora, Colorado. You have Venezuelan gang members who have gone in, smuggled, you know, AK-47s, walk into apartment buildings, and tell people who need affordable housing in this country, and there's a long list of them, get the hell out of your apartment. You know, that apartment's mine. And then you go to a local police chief, and the police chief's saying, what the hell do I do? I'm here with three deputies.
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do? Take on, you know, the 200 Venezuelan gang members with assault rifles?
That's right.
I mean, this is what our country has divulged into. I mean, again, have we lost our minds? And the answer is yes. And that's why people have to vote. And I think that's why we're going to win Virginia. I mean, people have to get out there. They have to vote. It's possible to win Virginia. People just have to get out in force. But people are sick and tired of this economy. People are sick and tired of the crime. People are sick and tired of the needless deaths. People are sick and tired of what's happening to education, 30th in the world, our kids, revisionist history.
Yep.
People want our country back, and people are certainly sick and tired of people who lie to their faces,
mm-hmm.
you know, say that they're very for fracking when 2 years ago they were against, you know, yes, I'm a gun owner, give me a break.
Right.
No one believes that. Yes, I'm very, I really want, you know, border security. Well, why don't you start by turning on all the security cameras, the 700 miles of security cameras that my father put up?
That's right.
They literally turned off. The security cameras on the southern wall are turned off because they don't want those images being shown on TV stations. Around the, if you're serious about it, why don't you start taking these steps? If you're serious about the drug pandemic, why don't you do something about it?
Yep.
Start right now. What are you waiting for? I mean,
is
there no work to be done in the middle of a campaign? Do something about it. But instead, she refuses to do an interview. She's certainly not doing an interview like this one.
No.
Joe Biden sitting there sleeping on a beach. I mean, we look like the weakest kind. I mean, think about what President Xi is thinking. Do you think you'd ever catch him sleeping on a beach in China? Or do you think you'd ever catch Putin sleeping on a beach in Russia? Of course wouldn't.
That's right.
It's the weakest look we could possibly have as a country.
Yeah.
They're laughing at us. And all the while, think about it. I mean, what that does to our U.S. currency, we're the superpower of the world. We're the national, you know, we're the currency of the world.
Yeah.
The American dollar has always been the most revered currency. We're losing it. We're losing it. Our leaders don't even know what's happening. They're totally asleep at the wheel.
It's
devastating.
You described it so accurately, Eric. Eric Trump is with us. They're not serious people. For those of us who are looking at this and thinking, okay, we absolutely have to vote ourselves. We have to motivate other people to get out there and vote. We need people to understand what is really at stake here. That's the issue here. Every time that somebody goes and chats with somebody, says, well, I don't like this or this is this. Hey, this is really, truly the future of this nation, Eric. You know that. And I have said it to your father that I didn't understand why he was running for president the first time. I thought, he's got to be crazy. Why would you do this? You've got fame. You've got a pretty nice life. You've got more money than you're ever going to spend. I mean, why put yourself through this? And it's clear because he loves this country. He loves his grandchildren.
That's right. That's right.
He loves my children. I mean, I say that from the bottom of my heart, Eric. Your dad loves my children, and we love him. He needs to win this to save my country.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Jeff, he's the greatest guy I've ever met in my life. He's got a heart of gold. He's the greatest father I could have ever had. I mean, you know, I don't want to toot our own horns. This is not like normally a thing I'd say, but, you know, look at the five of us, you know, and then look at, you know, look at Hunter, you know, some of these other kids, you know, we were never out there committing crimes. We were never out there doing drugs. We were never out there. I mean, we were the first people in the office. We were the last ones to leave. You know, we worked hard. You know, we dressed well. We generally had our acts together.
Right.
You know, took life awfully seriously. He was just a great father. He drove us and raised us correctly. And I don't think there's anybody out there, even as much of the liberal media that hates us, who would otherwise attest to that. But the last thing that he needed to do was run. You just said it better than I could, but I mean, literally, they've tried everything they could to kill him, right? Literally and figuratively. And recently, they've been trying to kill him literally, and now there's all sorts of foreign threats that are trying to kill him because they don't want him to be commander-in-chief because that, you know, messes with their fiefdom. But they tried to pull him off of the ballots.
Yep.
They tried to take him off of the ballots in you know, Colorado and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote dirty dossiers. They had a, you know, three-year-long Russia hoax, which was totally nonsense, which got debunked, thankfully, and everybody knows now that it was a Democratic ploy to take him out.
Yep.
They tried to impeach him. They've gone after him. They've weaponized government. They went after him. They put every AG, every district attorney in the country. They, you know, filed every, you know, civil suit that you could possibly file against a person.
Yeah.
They've tried to break apart our family. They've gone after us. I mean, I've never so much as gotten a speeding ticket, and I'm the most subpoenaed person in the history of the country. I've gotten 114 or 115 subpoenas. Good. This is from the House. This is from the Senate. For doing what? For doing absolutely nothing wrong ever. You know, I mean, they've tried to destroy our family. They've tried to destroy him. They've tried to kill him. They've tried to bankrupt him. They've tried to, you know, destroy his marriage. They've tried to do absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And yet, he's amazing. He just keeps on fighting because he loves red, white, and blue, and he wants to see the greatness of America, which is, again, fading away under incompetent people who just don't get it. And I've never been more proud of somebody in my entire life. I've never seen that level of tenacity and backbone and fight. And vigor. Believe me, his life would be a hell of a lot better just hanging out at Mar-a-Lago and enjoying life. Maybe go out, play a round of golf, hang out with my kids who he loves to death. You probably saw that the other day on the stage in North Carolina. And his life would be a hell of a lot better. At the same time, we wouldn't have a country. And we have to save our republic. We just have to save it.
He is doing it for the right reasons. I thank you, Eric, for being here. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I got to get back out to the winery because I'm a cider guy and I haven't tried the cider yet, and I'm anxious.
Oh, the cider is amazing.
Yeah,
we just planted about over 10,000 apple trees, and it's become like the rave of Charlottesville. So
come down
and see us. The tasting room is open every day. The winery, obviously, we're winning every wine competition in Virginia. And
I know.
The best views. The best views in the state are obviously from the tasting room. I think you've seen it many times.
It is a great place. Listen.
Spectacular.
Again, I thank you for being here. I thank you for what you're doing. Please, on behalf of my family, my listeners, you tell your father that that we stand with him. We pray for him every single night, and we're going to be voting for him and encouraging everybody we know to vote for him. You know, God bless you. God bless the whole family.
I absolutely will. Take care, my friend.
Thank you. That is Eric Trump. He's a good guy. I know, Jeremy, I apologize. I destroyed everything in your timesheet there. So we'll make it right. Jeremy has that ability, a unique ability, but that is Eric Trump. We'll also get that up at newsradiowrba.com, newsradiowrba.com. He was actually kind enough to invite me out to the winery, was it a month ago, 6 weeks ago, when they were opening up the cidery. He knew about how much I love this. I love cider, and I wasn't able to make it, so I gotta get out there and do that. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Four 35, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday evening. All right, I guess we, all right, we got to reschedule Ambassador Friedman. That's all right. Jeremy's going to take care of that. We got a lot of stuff that you and I are dealing with this afternoon. Thanks again to Eric Trump for dropping by. Some really great insight and observations there. When you think about who's running for president, why they're running for president, Donald Trump doesn't need to be president. I mean, that's the whole point of this, right? He doesn't need it. And there's never been anybody like him before who said, well, I got more money than I'll ever spend. My kids are all set. My grandkids are set. I can spend the rest of my days traveling from one luxury golf course to another one, playing golf every day. I'm going to throw all that away. And I'm going to go try and lead this nation away from the cliff. Oh, and by the way, I will be the first ever president in the history of the United States of America whose personal wealth goes down as a result of being president. You'd better not forget that. Every other president, every single one, has seen their net personal wealth increase exponentially as a result of having been the president of the United States. Donald Trump has seen his personal net wealth decrease. And he's back saying, hey, let me get four more years so that we can fix what's been broken. Wow. Wow. I mean, it's amazing to me. Let me share with you a little bit more of our not ready for primetime vice president, who sure as heck is not ready for primetime as president. But now here's a weird thing. Joe Biden said that for the last 4 years, he has delegated everything to Kamala Harris, that all of this disaster that we've seen in the United States is all her fault. She did this. Last week, you've got Jill Biden leading a staff meeting, a cabinet meeting. Joe Biden's been eating freaking ice cream and sitting on the beach for 4 years. He has been the presidential meat puppet, and those people have abused him, as far as I'm concerned, and they've lied to us about his condition. This is not somebody who's been with the team for a while. But anyway, Kamala Harris was on MSNBC. No, well, you know what? Hang on a second. Let me just do this. Hold on. No, I like to take a sip of coffee before anything from MSNBC airs, because a lot of times you're just going to spit it out anyway. So take yourself a sip of coffee or whatever it is that you're drinking, your beverage of choice at the moment. If you're driving, you may want to pull over. This is MSNBC, and I do watch it. You're right. I watch it so that you don't have to. And it's okay. You are more than welcome. She's asked about the lack of an endorsement from the Teamsters Union. First time ever, the Teamsters Union has not endorsed the Democrat running for president. Cut number three.
Steelworkers matter in this country. Yeah. Unions matter.
Yes.
In 2016, Donald Trump connected with unions. He saw them. There was an emotional connection. But what he didn't do was deliver policy. In the last 4 years, we have seen huge wins in this country for unions, but not all unions have gotten behind you. I want to understand, when the Teamsters decided not to endorse you, what was their reasoning? What are they looking for?
Well, let me go back to our just previous conversation. I'm very proud to have the endorsement of the steelworkers and almost every other major union in America, because I stand by workers and I stand by the importance of being able to join a union and to understand the benefit and the value of unions. And I understand the importance of investing in new industries and working actively with the private sector to grow our economy.
But I'm asking because there's this idea, we want something more from her. What is it?
Well, here's the thing, that back to your point about previous election cycles, Donald Trump made a whole lot of promises that he did not meet, and one would argue broke. Look at Lordstown. He said he was
going to... Don't sell your homes.
Yeah, don't sell your homes. And what happened? It shut down.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Outsourcing.
Hey,
under
can I just
Trump
pop in for a second here? I mean, far be it for me to not be paying rapt attention to these two brain surgeons, but Madam Vice President, she asked, what about the Teamsters telling you to take a freaking hike? Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it amounted to. They said you stink.
Reminding people of fact, regardless of what somebody says in a small rally somewhere.
Small. Really stop. All right. Now, look, we all know that she does that to poke at Donald Trump. And this is one of those areas where President Trump can't let her get under his skin. But she says small rallies. His rallies are packed with thousands and thousands and thousands of people. People literally in lines that are miles long waiting for hours. She couldn't get 300 students to show up at Carnegie Mellon University. I digress. Are we done with her? Yes. All right, now I got one more piece of her. I'm sorry, but you got to hear it. No. Take a listen, if you would, please, to cut number four.
But a serious problem over the last few years has been inflation. Luckily, it's cooling, but prices are still high.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You've said you want to take this on by going after those who engage in price gouging.
Yeah.
But as somebody who supports free markets, who's a capitalist, how do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls? Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
So just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people. And as Attorney General, I saw this happen.
in the midst of an emergency, whether it be an extreme weather event or even the pandemic, we saw it, where those few companies, not the majority, not most, but those few companies that would take advantage of the desperation of people and jack up prices. Yeah, I'm going to go after them. Yes, I'm going to go after them. And that is part of a much more comprehensive plan on what we can do to bring down the cost of living, including housing, including the everyday needs of the American people.
But do you have an actual freaking plan, or are you just going to tell me how there was price gauging? Remember, that's what she called it first, price gauging. Now, when she talked about companies engaging in price gauging, she was actually telling the truth. Now, I realize it was inadvertent, but she was telling the truth. Companies gauge prices all the time. You gauge the value of a product, you gauge the demand for that product, and then you set the price. Now she's given this opportunity, and she's asked flat out, look, I got to give it to this Stephanie Ruhle for actually asking a sort of question. I didn't expect much from her, and believe me, I wasn't disappointed. But it was almost a question. Inflation is hitting everybody. And the vice president goes, oh, yeah, you know, like I'm upset about that. You caused it, madam. These are your policies that have done this. The average across the board, if we take in all of the things that have happened, the average person has seen inflation in the rate of 19.7%. So unless you got a pay increase of 19.7%, you have taken a pay cut. That's the reality of it. Have you gotten a 19.7% pay increase? If you have, then you work for a wonderful boss and company, and you should stay there. If you did not, then, well, you didn't. But 19.7% is what you needed to see as an increase in your salary to keep up with inflation these past 4 years. She's the cause of this. She has no idea what causes inflation. She said high prices cause inflation. She has it bass-ackwards. Inflation causes high prices. You are disincentivizing people to work. You are disincentivizing companies to produce products. And you are flooding the free market with money that, frankly, if we were going to look at it realistically, people would be blowing their noses and wiping their tushes with, because it's not worth anything at this point, is it? You're just throwing trillions of dollars out there. Now, you've got a plan to help 20 million illegal aliens you've brought into the country, but you do not have a plan to help somebody in Hanover County or in Chesterfield County or in Henrico County who's just trying to pay the freaking bills. Tomorrow morning, my buddy John Reed is going to be here, 6 a.m. Has John announced if he's running for lieutenant governor? I was out of town for like 2 days, and I didn't get a chance to listen. So, I don't know, maybe tomorrow is the day that he will announce. All right, there we go. It is 4:45, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:51, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Yeah, it really is. And we got rain. We're going to have rain tomorrow and rain the next day and rain the day after that. And that's just the way it is. Now, if you've got a little grass situation, Virginia Green was out here earlier today applying, what did they apply? Some sort of a fertilizer. Now, here I thought we had the dogs for the fertilizer. But anyway, so they put down some other sort of fertilizer, and we've got plenty of rain, so it should look good. If you've got friends in Florida, depending on where they are, they're going to get really impacted one way or another with Hurricane Helene. If you got friends on the East Coast, my brother is in Del Rey, so, I mean, he's got some rain, but, you know, always rains in the afternoon. But if you do have friends, it's called the Big Bend, and it is quite literally where the state of Florida kind of bends down. It's a little bit north of Tampa. And then as you head further south from Tampa, you know, you've got like Fort Myers and Sanibel and What else have you got? And I'm just trying to think about it. Well, like Naples, Sarasota, they're going to get it. And again, the closer they are, they're going to get more of it. But just be aware of that. I mean, that is going to be a really big thing. And what we're hearing, our friends over at 8 News are saying, is that we're going to get impacted as well. If you take a look at the trajectory for Hurricane Helene, it's hitting in such a way that we're going to see a lot of rain. As I said, it's raining now, and it's going to be with us pretty much through Sunday. But we don't expect, that I'm reading, that we're going to get a lot of the wind. So you just, you know, keep all of that together. Keep it doing whatever it is you need to do. And we'll be dealing with that. Okay, so a couple of things. Yeah, Jerem, we're going to have to do that at the bottom of the hour because my lovely bride has departed. She's headed over to Old England. Well, I mean, we used to live in New England. She's going to the original one. And she's going off on one of her little musical adventures. So I've got total Julia duty for the next, 10 days, 12 days. It's a long time. And it's going to be great fun, but it's also a lot of work. So just wanted to share that with you. In the event that I get pulled away at some point, because it could happen. I mean, I'm just giving you the heads up, and I know Jeremy is at the ready. Mike Dickinson's going to join us at 5:05. Why? Well, because that Susanna Gibson, the porn candidate, has apparently formed a nonprofit to bring awareness to what? Porno candidates running for office? Is that what it is? Man, my mind is just going in circles now trying to come up with a name for such a group and to figure out exactly how you make a donation. I'll keep all of that to myself. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., John Reed will be here. I would urge you, please, tune in to John. Tomorrow might be the day he announces he's running for lieutenant governor. Who knows? It is 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. We've got rain. We will have rain tomorrow. We will have rain the day after that, and we will have rain the day after that. Some of it is as a result of Hurricane Helene, now a Category 3 hurricane. But it does look like it's going to be, for us anyway, mostly rain. Now, there are very, very strong winds further south. We'll keep you updated on all of that. I am absolutely amazed that this Susanna Gibson, who is only noteworthy because of her porno videos, is now trying to claim she's a victim of something. And if I understand it correctly, she's set up a nonprofit. Can you make donations to the nonprofit with the porno site's tokens, I wonder? No? Okay. Well, anyway, our pal Mike Dickinson has been all over this case and has followed it from beginning to end. And we reached out to get him on today to talk a little bit about it. Mike, I appreciate you squeezing us in here, bud.
Anytime to tell the truth about Susanna Gibson. I mean, this lady is such a clown. She continues to play. I don't know if she's delusional or she's mentally ill. I think Susanna Gibson's mentally ill that she continues to play the victim in this.
Well, it's funny you started with that, because that's exactly what I wanted to ask you. Is she just backcrap crazy? Is she delusional? How do you do that? And remind everybody, just so we're all clear, remind everybody about this porno website that she was part of. What was it, and what was she doing, and how were they doing it?
So Susanna Gibson, as many people know, she was a Democrat running for House of Delegates in Henrico County. It was uncovered during her candidacy that she was performing sex shows online with her husband, with herself, talking about doing them with the pizza man if he came to the door, and soliciting money to do these shows. She's not a victim. So she wants you to believe that she was, it was a hacking, someone hacked her phone. The pictures were put out there without her consent. It's a spy camera. She's human trafficked. And that's all a load of BS. She signed up to go onto a website. She signed up to stream images and videos of herself and her husband doing all of these things. And then now she wants to be the victim. She made money off of this. I don't know how many tokens she made or how much money she made. She must have not been very good at it, because now trying to take it all back. But It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Once you put a picture of yourself on the internet that you've put on there consensually, which is what she did, it's out there forever. I'm sorry, Susanna. You made that choice. I hope it was worth the 10 tokens you got to be naked on the internet, because that image is going to last forever, Susanna. And no matter how much you cry about it, it's not going away.
And let's be honest, I'm not necessarily suggesting people go and look at it. She was a lot more than naked, Michael.
It was sex acts going on. She was talking about, filth, carnality.
Yep.
The people listening probably haven't seen that, but some people may have. I don't know. The ones that go to clubs might have. But she was very, very, very nasty. Very nasty.
Yeah. It was, the way she's presenting it, and we all need to be clear on this, those of us that have actually followed the story, she's making it sound as if she and her husband, so deeply in love, were, they were just so happy together, and they were talking about their kids, and they were cuddling and snuggling, and you know what happens after that, and why some terrible person came in and stole it out of our house, and it's not right, it's not fair. She was on, what was the name of the website again? Do you remember?
I don't remember. There was a couple of them, and there's a couple of videos that are out there that came from that. But
wasn't it Chatterbait? Wait a minute. I hate to say that I think I remember. Wasn't it Chatterbait?
Yeah.
Chatterbait. Yes. Oh, for goodness sakes.
And just so our audience out there knows, these are websites that, typically these are websites that some women go on and perform, and they make money off. It's a career for them or a money-making option for them. And it's just mind-boggling that Susanna Gibson, a 40-year-old housewife nurse practitioner, thought that she could go on these websites and do these sex shows for what little amount of money she made and not have anybody know about it. It's just delusional. It's weird.
Wasn't there a question as well about whether the money was going to, and again, it comes through tokens. People buy tokens, and then they give the performers tokens, and I guess those tokens are then turned back into money by the performers. But wasn't there an allegation out there that she was taking these tokens for her political campaign?
There was, and there were some really small little self donations to her campaign during that time. Yeah. Typically she raised a lot of money, but then you see on her reports, $113, that she deposited into her, $50 that she deposited into her account. Mm-hmm. So it's very strange that if you've got a couple hundred thousand raised, why are you still giving yourself these little amounts of money? It raised a lot of questions. That was never answered either in this whole investigation that went down.
Yeah, that's one of the big questions. There was other stuff you were following, some problems with, like, paperwork, right? Wasn't it out in Louisa? There was something involving that, I thought, with Louisa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in Louisa, so her paperwork, her signatures didn't match, and they were notarized, and it says on the form that it's a felony. It says on the form that if you do any kind of manipulating the signature where you sign or the notary signs, it's a felony. And her signatures did not match up whatsoever. The Louisa Police Department looked into it, and they told me that they thought something was amiss, but they didn't think it was their purview. So they sent it to the Secretary of the Commonwealth, Kelly G., down there in Glenn Youngkin's office, and nothing has come of it. And it's just, strange and mind-boggling to me that you hear Susanna Gibson talk, and she's, I want to make it easier for people who have been exploited to do this.
Right.
Well, they need to make it easier. They need to make it easier to enforce election laws, because those signatures and those notary signatures clearly did not match. And the notary who signed it was the paralegal for John David Gibson, Susanna's husband. And she notarized, and the signature, Susanna Gibson's signatures did not match. And nothing's been done about that, and that is a felony.
Wow. All right, so there's that matter. And then I'm curious, and I want to remind everybody, Mike Dickinson is joining us. Mike is our resident citizen journalist doing stuff a little bit like Andy Ngo, in my opinion. Your stuff's getting picked up nationally, which I think is great. There's this whole thing now. She's playing the victim. Oh, my gosh, we have to do something to protect people. Now most of us who are decent people, I would think, would like to protect innocent people, no doubt about that. If you're doing that and somebody steals it and is then exploiting you, of course, I think we all agree that it's wrong. But how does she set up a nonprofit and then get a Republican delegate in Carrie Coyner to sign on to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring this whole thing to the floor? I mean, I don't know. I'm just a little confused, Mike. I really am.
I don't think Carrie Coyner understands the reality of the situation, or she's just bought Susanna Gibson's boohoo lies. Because it's, you know, we all, everybody out there, your devices and your pictures that you take personally should be safe. But if you go on Jerry Springer or if you go on Phil Donahue and you make, you know, if you make a fool of yourself,
yep,
and you're of age and you signed up and you've gotten the check and you've gotten paid, which is what Susanna Gibson did, I'm sorry, but that is what you chose to do. And
yeah,
it's living with the reality of your actions. I mean, a picture is worth 1,000 words, and Susanna Gibson's pictures that are going to live forever are the ones that are online, for whether she likes it or not.
Yeah, 1,000 words. Man, she is into the millions at this point with all of those pictures, I'll just tell you that. Mike, do me a favor. Remind everybody where they find you over on X, please.
Mike D4RVA.
All right, I love it. Now, you and I are going to set aside a time. You're still going to get to do your reporting stuff for us next week, but I want us to set aside a time where we can analyze this Netflix series, Mr. McMahon. I've finished last night. I sat down and thought I would watch a couple of minutes. I watched 3 episodes, and not that I'm anxious for the show to conclude today, but once it concludes, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go watch the other 3. You've seen it all, haven't you?
Yes, it is phenomenal. Yeah. I thought the history of the WWE, the history of Vince, the history of the store, I thought it was phenomenal. And I mean, there are a few bumps in there to Vince, but I thought that it was a very phenomenal series.
All right, so next week sometime, we're going to budget some time. We're just going to talk about that. How's that?
Sounds good to me. Looking forward to that.
All right. Thank you, sir. Mike D4RVA over on X. Remember, follow Mike and follow Jeff Katz Show. All one word over on X. Jeff Katz Show on X. 515 Jeff Katz News Radio, WRVA. 521 Jeff Katz News Radio, WRVA. A Friday evening. We've got rain and more rain and lots of rain still to come. It's just going to be wet. What can I tell you? It is what it is. Last night, if you did not you did not watch it, and I hope that you didn't, because you didn't have to. I watched it for you, and you will owe me forever, but it's okay. I mean, I'm not going to rub it in or anything. It was an embarrassment. It was an absolute embarrassment. And what is so puzzling, at least for me, maybe not for others, I don't understand how anyone can say and do what Kamala Harris did and not be absolutely mortified. This is what I do not understand. If you say something stupid, you're a human being. We've all been in a situation. We've said something, man, and you go, it didn't really come out the right way. Okay, so what do? You apologize. And you say, sorry about that, or made a mistake, or what have you. And then you move on. Kamala Harris continually says things that are so ludicrous. She's vapid. I hate to use that word because I know there are going to be people go, oh, you know, that's misogynistic. You would never call a man vapid. Yeah, actually, I would. I'm thinking of a couple of men right now that I would absolutely call vapid. And I believe our vice president is vapid. I've gotten to the point where I don't think there's any there. I just have yet to hear from her anything of consequence. Have you? I'm being very serious here. Have you heard her say anything of consequence that makes you think, oh, okay, she's got a handle on that issue? If you have, shoot me a note, would you? The Chronic Care of Richmond text line is always open and available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. She's asked about high prices, and she wants to tell you a tale about people in her neighborhood who like lawns. She is asked about national defense. Her eyes roll in opposite directions in her head. She's got all of the nervous tics, if you've noticed that, with her hands and her head. Sometimes when you are a public speaker, you engage in certain physical behaviors, right? If you are on a stage and you are providing whatever the speech is, whatever you're talking about, you are asking the audience questions. And you may very well raise your hand because you want everybody to raise their hand. Hey, has anybody here besides me ever been in a situation that blah, 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 blah? Go ahead, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I want to see. Or you're making a point and you are, well, you sort of shake your head a little bit, you know, in an affirmative manner, up and down. Because you want people in the audience to get that sense that you are telling them, yes, you agree with this, don't you? And there are all sorts of tricks that you learn when you speak on a stage, just the way it is. She's employing those tricks, but she's employing them at all the wrong times. She is sitting inches away from this woman, Stephanie Ruhle, who is on her side, doing everything possible to provide softballs, and she still is at the plate whiffing. I personally would be embarrassed. I don't think she has any sense of shame. It's appalling, and we'll talk more about it in a couple of moments. Tomorrow morning, my buddy John Reed will be here. I'm telling you, maybe today, tomorrow's the day he announces he's running for LG. It's Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Five, there we go. Huh. Ah, well, what can I tell you? It is 5:35. It is Friday Eve. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Tomorrow morning, my friend John Reed will be here at 6 a.m. I want to make sure that you are here for that. I do have a few more pieces of our vice president that I want you to hear. Why? Because I think there are still people, maybe not the majority of folks who are part of this little get-together we have, but there's still people thinking to themselves, saying to themselves, well, I don't know which way I'm going to go. I don't know. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, Donald Trump sent something and I didn't like it. Or, you know, he had a mean tweet. Whatever. He had policies. Eric Trump was with us a little bit earlier. And if you didn't hear it, just go to newsradiowrba.com and take a listen to it. And he said something that should sound very familiar to you. He said, when speaking of Kamala Harris and the gang, they are not serious people. Who was it that shared that phrase with you first? No, it wasn't even me. It was the television show Succession. I got it from there. There was one episode where the head of that family turns to his children because they all want to take over his company and he's not sure that any one of them really should. And he says to them, you are not serious people. And that just stuck with me the last couple of years. And so I've shared that with you a number of times. As I look at some of this, I listen to some of this, I read some of this, I'm thinking, no, you are not serious people. You and I are in a stage of life, are we not, where we enjoy certain things, where we probably have children. Some of us have grandchildren. I don't, but I'm just saying some of us have grandchildren. We have, for the most part, worked our way to a certain status in life, a certain station, if you will. And we say, okay, despite what Barack Obama told us, I did make this. I did build this. I did create this. And despite what Kamala Harris says, I do pay my fair share. And I'm really sick and tired of being told by clowns, you're not doing enough. You're just not doing enough. You're not paying enough. I know what I have. And I know what was given to me. You know what was given to me? Bupkis. That's Yiddish for bupkis. Nothing. I didn't get nothing. My parents were not millionaires or billionaires. My dad was a federal civil servant for 42 years. My mom was a nurse. They worked every single day, and they worked hard. And they built themselves a little life, and they made sure that my brother and I studied hard in school, right? They didn't say, hey, look, you got a free ride to Harvard. We'll just stroke a check. They said, you know, if you want to make something yourself, you got to study because you don't have a large inheritance coming your way. Just not going to happen. So when somebody says to me, oh, well, you I can stop you right there because nobody gave me anything. And as I pointed out to you, in the last 4 years, you and I have taken a major pay cut. Unless you received a 19.7% pay increase, you have taken a pay cut as a result of inflation. Let me share with you some of the absurd things that this Kamala Harris said last night. Let's start at, what is it, Stephanie Ruhle was the, well, interviewer. Ugh, I can't even call it an interview, whatever it was. But Kamala Harris is trying to have every woman in America believe that Donald Trump is out to get them. Cut number seven, please.
I know I'm out of time, but then I just want to ask you a question from my gut.
Okay.
Because today we're talking about we're talking about the economy.
Yeah.
And people don't think often about reproductive rights being an economic issue, but it is. A woman's ability to plan her future, her education, her life. Today, and in the last few days, Donald Trump keeps talking about it and how in overturning Roe v. Wade, he helped women. He protected women. He says they're miserable today. They're poorer today. They're more vulnerable today. He said he will be the protector of women if elected. Can you respond to that?
So Donald Trump is also the person who said women should be punished for exercising a decision that they rightly should be able to make about their own body and their future. So I think we would all agree that as a result of that perspective that he has about women, he also then chose three members of the United States Supreme Court who did as he intended, undid the protections of Roe v. Wade, and now, in state after state, you see laws being passed that do punish women.
Okay, so that's not even close to true. You know what? I don't even need to hear anymore. That's not even close to true, Madam Vice President. Not even close to true. Now you are just speaking out of your ear. You're just making crap up. Now, I understand that you are in favor of late-term abortions, right? Are you not on board with Ralph Northam and the other modern-day Democrats who are completely and totally in favor, it seems, of late-stage abortions, in some cases, after that poor baby is born? I mean, what can I tell you? You're cool with getting rid of the babies. I'm not. Don't folks have an obligation as they're voting to look at what is being said and say, well, but that's just not right. You're not saying what is true. Let me give you another little piece. How about cut number 10?
Politician Josh Riley sure got paid. Riley landed a cushy job as a corporate lawyer.
All right, that may not be cut number 10, but that's okay. How about cut number 11, where Kamala Harris tries to explain economics? She's talking about tariffs. Cut number 11.
Tariffs aren't unique to President Trump. President Biden has tariffs in place. He's actually looking to potentially implement more. Where do you come out on? Is there a good tariff, a bad tariff?
Part of it is you don't just throw around the idea of just tariffs across the board. And that's part of the problem with Donald Trump. I say this in all sincerity, he's just not very serious about how he thinks about some of these issues. And one must be serious and have a plan, any real plan that's not just about some talking point ending in an exclamation at a political rally, but actually putting the thought into what will be the return on the investment, what will be the economic impact on everyday people.
Okay, so explain it to me. He's not a serious person, but you are. You, who continually spouts garbage, you're just spewing nonsense non-stop. You've memorized a couple of phrases. Did you get the one where she uses the word holistic three times in 17 seconds? Somebody must have been part of a subject group. There was a study group. There was a poll. Holistic. Holistic is the way to go. Let's use the word holistic. It's like Groucho Marx back in the day, where a duck dropped out of the sky with a magic word, saying the magic word, win $50. She's like Groucho Marx. The magic word is holistic. So she says it three times in 17 seconds. It's not appropriate any time except, I would guess, the first time, but doesn't matter. Because she is quite literally just throwing words together, spewing them out. Sometimes they sort of kind of can be connected, and other times it doesn't make any sense at all. But it doesn't matter because she's not called out on it. Tim Walz, her running mate, who is another, I mean, he's a buffoon. I think I'm being charitable and generous when I describe him as a buffoon, but he's a buffoon. Take a listen to cut number 13.
We can't afford 4 more years of this. We can't afford 4 more years of this.
We can't afford 4 more years of this.
Well, actually, now maybe I need to recalibrate because he's absolutely correct. We can't afford 4 more years of what we've had. Not a chance on God's green earth. This nation that we have will, go to the dustbin of history, I guess. And my kids are not going to have any sort of a life? No, I'm sorry. I'm just not on board with that. All right, I want you to hang tight because in just a moment, Kamala Harris is going to explain taxes to us. I know, Jeff, it's not happy hour yet, but you'll need to hear this so that you can understand what's going to happen next. And then Kamala Harris will take a moment and help us all understand theology as well. It's amazing what she is capable of. 545, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 551, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, taking a look at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, the Ukrainian president did more campaigning with Kamala Harris today. He's not meeting with Donald Trump at all. The Ukrainian president is a fool to be seen as campaigning for Democrats. Even Jim Gilmore wasn't happy with it this morning. Wow. Well, you know it's got to be bad because Jim Gilmore seems to want all of us to get a second job so that we can send more money to Ukraine, right? I'm paraphrasing, but I think that's his policy now. It's just, it's absurdity. But yeah, this Zelensky is over here campaigning with Kamala Harris. What gives? What gives? All right, she's going to explain economics. She's going to explain it now. Taxes, are you ready? Cut number 12.
Expanding that child tax credit, or you mentioned housing before, giving that extra money for a first home. If you can't raise corporate taxes, or if GOP takes control of the Senate, where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow?
Well, but we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying their fair share. I am not mad at anyone for achieving success, but everyone should pay their fair share. And it is not right that the teachers and the firefighters that I meet every day across our country are paying a higher tax than the richest people in our country.
Bill Gates just said it this week. If he was in charge of taxes, he would have paid more. But how do you find that line to make sure corporations are paying their fair share, but they're not leaving our country?
Well, listen, I work with a lot of CEOs. I have spent a lot of time with CEOs, and I'm going to tell you that the business leaders who are actually part of the engine of America's economy agree that people should pay their fair share. They also agree that when we look at a plan such as mine that is about investing in the middle class, investing in new industries, investing in bringing down costs, invest in entrepreneurs like small businesses, that the overall economy is stronger and everyone benefits.
Okay. So I got it. Everybody has to pay their fair share. Uh-huh. And then, you know, after that, Stephanie Ruhle said, so you, you're not going to be able to raise taxes. Oh, we have to raise taxes. And then she launched into her ridiculous, nonsensical, irrational spiel about everybody pays their fair share. You notice what was missing there? Details. None. Not a single solitary fact. Nothing there. Vapid. Now, lest we forget, she is she's a very religious person, is she not? I don't know what religion it is, but I'm sure she's very religious because, well, I mean, take a listen to Cut 14.
You know, there's a time for patience, and there's a time for impatience. That's not in Ecclesiastics, but just went off script for a minute, Mayor.
Vapid. Good luck finding Ecclesiastics in your Bible. I mean, I don't care which part you're in, the old part, the new part, the upside down part. You're not going to find Ecclesiastics there. Now, I am willing to cut people some slack because, as you know, I'm not an apologetics guy. I'm not. My friend Dr. Michael Brown, he's an apologetics guy. He can quote inside out and upside down. And by the way, Germ, did you know he has another new book coming out? Yeah, we got to get him back on. I get finished reading one of his books. He's already written another book. But you're not going to find Ecclesiastics in any of your religious texts because it doesn't exist. She makes stuff up. She says things that don't mean anything. There's nothing of substance in anything. And as Eric Trump pointed out an hour or so ago, she's not a serious person. She just isn't. Okay, a couple of things that I want you to do. Tomorrow is the final Friday of the month. Did you realize that? Yeah, we will bestow our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor tomorrow. We have somebody who's going to blow your socks off. I was so impressed with this honoree, man. She is amazing. Tune in for that. Tune in tomorrow morning at 6 for my friend John Reed. Beware the weather. Drive carefully. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.